And now I'm going to turn over the program to someone that, if you don't know him personally, you know of him. How many people here are familiar with blindfold games?
Yep.
How about Objective Ed? Okay. I would like to introduce somebody that actually went to college near where I live, Carnegie Mellon. This is the co-founder of Blindfold Games that I have with us today, and he's going to talk about the games and the Blindfold Games and the Objective Ed games. And without any further ado, let me introduce Marty Schultz.
Thank you for the introduction. Thanks for the Jeopardy game. So again, I'm Marty Schultz. I'm the founder, I'm basically the only person in Blindfold Games. And I'm a co-founder of Objective Ed.
Okay, I got it wrong, sorry.
That's no problem. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about now really is, because this is for teachers, is about Objective Ed. I'm talking several times over the weekend, and a couple of them I'll be talking about all the Blindfold Games and some of the utilities that we've built out, Blindfold Video, Blindfold Greeting Card. But this one I want to focus on education and with a primary emphasis on kids. So, and I presented this speech about once a week now for the past 6 months at regional AER conferences all over this country. So I think I've traveled so much, American has moved me up to like Platinum Pro. So when I travel half the time, I'm actually upgraded to first. So the general idea is that kids don't enjoy homework and they just want to sit around and play video games. And we live really in a gamified world from the perspective of a kid. And gamification has arrived in education in a big way. In regular ed, about almost all teachers are using digital games that were created for educational use. About 20% of the teachers use these games every single day. And most teachers report that when you're using a video game, the students are much more engaged. And the question becomes, why does gamification work so effectively? And that's because students own their own learning. And the basis of playing a video game is where they have the freedom to fail and try again. And by going over and over, they discover their own intrinsic motivation. So kids want gamified learning. And Objective Ed, the company that I'm a co-founder of, exists to help teachers and parents and schools adapt to this new era of gamified learning for blind and visually impaired students. So how did I get involved in all this? 6 years ago, I don't think I ever met somebody who was visually impaired. But I was watching my daughter on her 12th birthday, and every day, about a month prior to her birthday, she'd write out a new birthday wish list. Uh-huh. And if any of you have kids, yeah. And notice what they do is before Christmas or Hanukkah or their birthday, they'll write a new birthday wish list every single day. And I was watching my daughter do this, and I thought, there should be an app for that. So I thought I could either create an app and then focus test it with some of her 12-year-old friends or make it into a STEM learning opportunity for the kids at the school. So I contacted the head of school and I said, I want to run an after-school club for about 6 weeks. I'll meet with the kids 3 times a week for an hour. And over that time, the kids and I will design this birthday wish list app, and then I'll do the programming at night because I've been trained as a programmer. So the kids and I met and we ended up building up this app called Wish to List, and we put it in the App Store, the kids designed it, everyone loved it, they had lots of cool features in it. And then the head of school comes back to me and says, Marty, can you run the after school club again? So being an involved parent, I said, yes, that'll be fine. And he said, also, after you drop your daughter off in the morning, would you mind teaching the middle schoolers how to program? So I said, okay. And I did that actually for 2 years, for 4 semesters, and I found out why they have parents teach the first period electives. And that's because these monsters in middle school take about a full 45 minutes to calm down before they're ready for their core curriculum. I think in the final semester I did this, I had 18 students, 6 were gifted, 6 were had learning disabilities, and 6 were regular students, and even though you know, I had no degree in education and teaching. They still gave me the 18 kids to try to teach them how to program, but I managed through. But anyway, when I met with the kids again, and for the app club, they said, we don't want to build some stupid app. We want to actually build a game. I said, okay, if we're going to build a game, I want to make sure the game is a lot of fun, but I don't want it to be like all the other games in the App Store, of which there are about a million. So why don't you go off and spend the next 2 weeks thinking about something unique, and when we meet again, we can come look at those ideas. And they did, and we come back 2 weeks later, and every game they proposed was just a clone of another game in the App Store. So I said, let's do something really different. Let's do something without the screen. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, if we can have a game that doesn't need the screen, that's really different. It won't be like anything else in the App Store. And we started talking about for a while, and I said, why don't we build a driving game for blind people? And they said, what do you mean? I said, so I took the girl, she was about sixth grade, and I put her in the middle of the room, and I said, you act like a cow. So she starts mooing. Then I took a boy, and I put him at the other side of the room, and I put a blindfold on him. I said, you have to walk up to the cow, walk around the cow without touching her, and then get to the opposite side of the room. And he did that by listening to the sound of her voice, and was able to locate himself. And from that, they understood how to orient themselves entirely based on sound. So we said, okay, we want to build a driving game like that, where you drive with your ears instead of your eyes. And the idea would be that if you tilt the phone too far to the left, the music gets louder in your left ear. Too far to the right, the music's louder in your right ear. And you aim for noisy prizes like popping popcorn and avoid obstacles like barking dogs. So the kids and I worked on this game for about 6 months, built it up to about 60 levels, and then we put it into the App Store, and it was an amazing hit. Before we did that, we had tested it at a couple of the lighthouses for the blind down in Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And when I brought it to the lighthouse in Miami, one of the teams, actually the team who named it Blindfold Racer, asked me, is the iPad screen blank when you're playing? I said, yes, because I want the same experience for blind people as sighted people. He said, well, you better put something on the screen because sighted people will think that their iPad is broken. Then a few weeks later, I tested it with some teens over the Broward Lighthouse for the Blind. And one girl who had been blind since birth had been playing, and an hour later, I kind of debriefed her. I said, well, what do you think of it? She said, I can't wait to play with my sighted friends. I'm going to so beat their butt. And then the final time, I was testing over at the VA Med Center. I had a connection in there, and I had some of the vets who had lost their vision were playing. And there was this really crusty old admiral who was playing a little, and he didn't want to play first, and then he started doing it. And then after about a half hour, he started to crack a smile. About another 15 or 20 minutes later, he was actually laughing as he played the game. And then I said, well, what'd you think of it? He said, it's nice, but your daughter's really snarky. It's my daughter's voice on Blindfold Racer, by the way. So, after I put out Blindfold Racer into the App Store, I started hearing from visually impaired people all over the world, and they were asking for dozens of different type of games. And since I was kind of semi-retired at the time, I would, as a hobby, create a new game about once a month or so. And at this point now, I have about 80 games, and there are about 25,000 people worldwide who play these games. I think the most popular game, which was Blindfold Racer, has been downloaded about 57,000 times. Cumulatively, across all the games, has been about 500,000 downloads. About 2 years ago, I heard from Diane Browner. Does anyone here know who Diane Browner is?
Yes.
Okay. So Diane writes to me and says,
"What?
Sorry."
Go ahead,
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So Diane Browner is a TVI out of North Carolina. She blogs Perkins Path to Technologies. She's been a teacher for a long, long time, done a lot of projects with many of the large organizations for the blind. She's published things with APH and National Braille Press. She's done projects from the Canadian National Institute of the Blind. Very much of a leader in this field and very good with education for kiddos. So Diane writes to me and says, I'm using your blindfold bowling to teach some concepts with these kids. And I'm also using some blindfold racer and blindfold barnyard to teach certain skills like laterality, left, right, directionality, compass directions, and clock directions. And she said, can you create a battleship game for me? I said, why do you want a battleship game? She said, well, it's a great way for the kids to learn grid concepts, because as you're playing Battleship, you'll say something like, do you have a ship at E5? And then you have to actually move there by, you know, swiping left and right, up and down, and go A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get from like A1 to B2 and so forth. So I build a battleship game, and she starts using it to teach the grid concepts in her classes. And then a couple months later, she asks, can you build a tic-tac-toe game that's in 3D? I said, why do you want a 3D tic-tac-toe game? She says, well, this will use the same grid concepts, but for 3D objects. And by the way, blind children are much better playing 3D tic-tac-toe than our sighted children, because they can picture things in their head better. I said, okay, so I built it. And then over the years, Diane and I have stayed in touch. And about the same time, I happened to be visiting at some of the lighthouses, and I was up in the Lighthouse Guild in New York, talking with a guy who ran that at the time. And he said, Marty, you should really take a look at building educational games for preschoolers and younger kids, because if they're visually impaired, they're really far behind their peers because they don't have the ability to echo a lot of what they're doing and model those behaviors and learn. So I started doing some research there, and I went out to the VisionServe Summit in Tucson about 2 years ago, where I met with the heads of most of the lighthouses and a lot of the schools for the blind, and I said, I'm thinking of starting a company where we'll build educational games for kids tied to their IEPs. An IEP is an individual educational plan that any kid who is in the special ed department of a school, visually impaired or other limitations, has a plan on how to teach them the skills necessary to succeed in education and life. So I ran this idea by all these leaders, and they all said, that's a great idea. I then said, well, I need a little more information on that before I actually launch a company on that. My background is starting software companies. So I put out a survey to all the people who knew about blindfold games. I have about 15,000 names on my mailing list. The games have been downloaded by about 25,000 different people. I have a Twitter feed and a blog feed and all this other stuff. So I figured probably amongst that, amongst all the visually impaired individuals, there might be a handful of teachers who also pay attention. Maybe if these teachers could fill out the survey, I'd understand whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. I figured maybe I'll get a couple hundred responses. I ended up getting over 1,000 responses, which is about 1/6 of the number of TVIs and O&Ms out there. I said, yes, there's a real need for this. We knew we would have to raise some money for this company, so I started talking to some investors, people who had made money off some of my other ventures in the past. And the big issue is, what did people do before you had these blindfold games? How did the kids learn these skills? So I said, okay, I have to learn that. So I went out to the AER conference. This is a conference of TVIs and O&Ms that was held down in Reno last year on the national conference. And I would walk up to anybody and everybody who attended that conference and start out by asking them, have you heard of blindfold games? And if they had, then I'd say, do you use them with your kids? If they said yes, I say, okay, I need to talk to you for about 5 or 10 minutes. Can we go over and sit down on the couches over here and do it? And I would ask them, how do you use blindfold games with your students? And I learned 3 things. Firstly, I learned that the games are a great reward. If the kiddo had done their behaviors properly or had done their lesson properly, they get to play one of the 80 different blindfold games for a little while. Second, most of these teachers were itinerant TVIs or itinerant O&Ms, meaning they visited the child about once a week or in case in North Dakota, about once a month. It was not unusual for them to teach them something 1 week, come back the next week and repeat the lesson over and over again because the kid didn't practice, the parents were too busy to practice for the kid, their regular ed teacher didn't have a chance to practice because they were too busy with the rest of the classroom, the paraprofessional didn't know what was taught. So in general, the kid didn't make progress and the lesson would be repeated multiple times. If they used a game like Blindfold Barnyard to teach clock directions, then the kid actually made progress over that week. And the most interesting thing we learned was that since these are all audio games, and blind children or visually impaired children are normally the followers in a group, they were much better audio games than their sighted peers. So they were thrust into the role of being a leader, which was a new experience for the kids, and they really liked it. So we saw, okay, these games have a lot of value. Let's figure out what we can do, how to put together a company around this. So between my background in blindfold games, having built accessible audio games now for about 5 years, and my prior background of myself and my partners having started a company that did software for special education management between 2000 and the year 2000 and the year 2016, We were the largest vendor of IEP management software in Massachusetts and Texas. We kind of combined the old teams together and basically formed Objective Ed. So Objective Ed is building games that are designed for pre-K through 12th grade students based on the core and the expanded core curriculum skills, with games focusing on those skills, look all based around each student's IEPs, goals and objectives, building the games so they can be used by TVIs and O&Ms and assistive tech specialists, with a web dashboard for actually tracking the students' progress and acquiring the skills. So if you look at what kind of skills can actually be taught through games, it's pretty much the entire expanded core curriculum. Sensory efficiency, where you're teaching audio location and movement cues. Orientation mobility, where we first start out with doing things on the iPad, and then doing things as a combination of moving the iPad, instead of just moving your finger around on the screen of the iPad, moving the iPad physically or the iPhone physically left and right and around, and then finally completely physical things. Think of the equivalent of a Pokemon Go or other active games where you have to walk around a room with a device to tell you what to do. I already talked about how the games have a component of social interaction with building games where kids have to work together, both playing in a virtual world to cooperate or compete with each other. We're doing things in Braille literacy. We're doing a lot of things in teaching assistive technology, and we're also looking at concepts like language arts, math, and science. So how does the whole system work? It's pretty easy. Using a web dashboard, a teacher specifies what skills she wants to work on with the student that week, usually based around the objectives they have for that student and the goal that they're pursuing. We have multiple games for each type of skill, and then the game will focus on that type of skill. So if it's a game that can teach both laterality and directionality, and you're just teaching left-right, the game would just focus on that skill, the left-right. And then the student plays the game, and like most blindfold games, the Objective Ed games are very addicting, so the student keeps playing the game, not realizing how much they're learning. And then the game actually evaluates the student's progress, making itself harder as the student gets better to keep them engaged and entertained, or gets easier if the student isn't achieving the proper levels so that they always maintain like a 90% success rate. And then finally, the teacher or the parent can see the student's progress on a web dashboard at any time. And then after the students achieve those skills, it'll move automatically on to the next level. I want to talk a little about Barnyard, which was built around modeled after the original Blindfold Barnyard, but we now have a separate one for Objective Ed. And it can teach anything from left to right to up and down, east and west. Clock directions such as 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 and 9, or north, south, east, and west. And then finally, the ability to locate with a clock and then drag to a compass direction. And the way it works is there'll be a cow, one classic example, there's a cow somewhere on the screen. And the child will put their finger anywhere on the screen, and it'll tell the child where the cow is related to their finger. So if the cow is directly above their finger, they will say the cow is at 12 o'clock. If the cow is to the left of their finger, it would say the cow is at 3 o'clock. The child moves their finger around on the screen, following those directions until they get to the cow. Once they land on the cow starts mooing, and then it tells the child, okay, now drag the cow to the 3 o'clock fence. If the child drags the cow to the wrong fence, like the 9 o'clock fence where the horses are collecting, the child hears all the horse and all the cows scatter away. If the child directs it to the correct fence, the 3 o'clock fence, then the child hears all the cows moo with appreciation and the child wins points. So I'll skip over this video because this mic's not working, I can't get the volume up anyway. But anyway, I want to move on to the next thing, which is something called Braille Sheets. Now, in addition to these orientation mobility games I described and some assistive technology games, we were looking, we remember that back in I think December, the National Braille Press was running their Louis Braille Touch of Genius Award contest, where they would take the best technology for Braille and award a prize and the recognition. We said, we have a good idea that might be worthy of that, and it's called Braille Sheets. The idea behind Braille Sheets is you take a sheet of Braille You put it on the iPad, and the iPad knows what's on that Braille sheet. And as the child reads the Braille, the iPad can actually speak the letters or words that they're reading. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like a little bit of magic behind the scenes, and I'll explain how it works. But the whole idea is that since the iPad now knows what's on that sheet of Braille, you can build games out of it. So instead of it being the boring type of thing where you read a word and practice and read and practice and so forth, now you can do a game like Hangman, or you can do a game like Word Twist, or any number of dozens and dozens of other games, all based around the fact that it's going to be a Braille game based on an iPad, and the kid can have a lot of fun actually learning. And the whole idea behind everything Objective Ed is doing is that the teachers, the TVIs and the O&Ms, will teach the skill once a week or as often as they see the child, and then the child can practice on their own at home and actually enjoy practicing and get better and better at the skills that they need. So, let me skip this video. Okay. So Braille Sheets works on iPad, right now works on the iPad and the iPad Mini, and we'll have it available for some of the other tablet devices like the Android tablets. And we have a variety of different types of Braille Sheets that we're publishing, things like consonant, vowel, consonant words, three-letter words, four-letter words, sight words. We've done things like it for a Hangman game. We have simply the alphabet in two different formats. One is A through Z, and the second one is laying the alphabet out on the Braille sheet as a QWERTY keyboard, so that way the child is learning the layout of QWERTY at the same time as they're reinforcing their Braille. Now, I was working with Diane Browner with this in getting her ideas on it, and she connected me up with Penny Rosenblum at the University of Arizona to get her ideas on it. And both of them said, you know, it's important that not only does Objective Ed produce these Braille sheets to use on the iPad, but teachers need to create their own sheets. And I said, okay, we'll do that. So using the web dashboard, a teacher can create her own sheet of Braille, be it the size of an iPad, which is about 11 lines long. I mean, iPad Mini was about 11 lines long, or an iPad, which is about 20 lines long. And she can create lists of words, and she can also create a story. So let's say she's working with a child, and the child is really likes horses and is just learning the AR contraction. So the teacher writes a short story about a horse and what the horse does during the day and what the horse does at night, and then includes a number of audio questions with it. And the child, either in front of the teacher or at home at night, reads the story in Braille on the iPad, on the sheet of paper on the iPad, and one of the audio questions is, where does the horse sleep at night? So the child reads through the words, finds the word barn in its contracted form, and then double taps the screen, and the child gets points for that. You know, dings twice and gets the correct answer. And the teacher can do any number of audio questions she wants that she creates, and anything related, and the child has a great time. The child can use as many different types of Braille sheets as the teacher has provided. So that's pretty cool that the teacher can create her own lesson content. When I showed this to Penny, Dr. Penny Rosenblum, she said, you know, not only should teachers be able to create their own sheets, they should be able to share this with other teachers. So we built that into the system. So now, a teacher in, say, Rochester can create a Braille sheet for the child based on the specific place where the child is in learning, push a button in the Objective Ed system. It's stored up in a cloud repository. A teacher in Seattle, who also has a student who likes horses, is also learning some of the contractions like the AR contraction. He can download this sheet, print it out on his Braille embosser, or emboss it on a Perkins Brailler, and then set the kid up with the same Braille sheet, and he has all the work already done for him. So we envision, over time, thousands of teachers creating lesson content for all the teachers, so less time will be spent coming up with custom content for the kids, and more time will be, you know, simply searching on the repository for things that other teachers have done, and be able to really cooperate and help each other. So that's actually being built into the system, and I'll kind of go into that in a little bit. And with the web dashboard, which is fully accessible, a teacher can customize all the games for a given student in terms of how hard the game is, how quickly the kid moves through the game, you know, whether the kid has 30 seconds to solve something or 5 seconds to really let the game proceed at the kid's rate, what the success target is, whether the kid is low vision or blind, and how how the game should act that way, the size of the icons, if the kid has low vision, whether music is distracting or whether it's encouraging. So all that can be tailored for the child. And then we're making it available on Apple devices, Android devices, and other touch sensor devices. We're making it available in English and Spanish and French. We'll do other languages. And we're making sure that everything in the educational suite we're doing makes sense for both blind, low vision, and sighted students. So let's say a kindergarten teacher or a third grade teacher wants to use one of these games for her entire classroom. For the blind child, it would be an audio game. For the child with low vision, it would be large icons and bold colors. And for the sighted students, it would be the icons would be fully animated and it would be feel like a regular video game from their perspective. So that's kind of what we've done. What I want to do now is kind of bring it, that presentation is really where, yeah, I'll get to you in a second, is really where we were as of like March of this year. So I'll take some questions, then I'll kind of bring you, go up to where we are as of the summer. Yes?
What's the charge for joining a VIG event?
What's the cost of this?
Yes.
We haven't set the cost. It's going to be done on a per student per basis per year. It'll be in the range of probably $200 to $300 per student per year, and that'll give them all the games. The teacher will have the full dashboard to control the games, but it's really on a per-student basis, so the student can use the games all the time. Now, with this comes all the blindfold games as well.
What are the costs on average for each of those?
Blindfold games cost between... they're all free to download, to evaluate, and then go between $5 and $15 depending on the game. Okay, so our goal here, the difference between the blindfold games and the objective ed games is blindfold games are built mainly with the purpose of entertainment. So the objective ed games are built with the purpose of teaching specific goals and making sure there's a web dashboard where the teacher and the parent can see whether or not, how closely the child is achieving those goals, where the child is having problems, and making sure that the information from that can be used as part of the child's progress report on their IEP. So, and then, since we have so many blindfold games, the teacher can also determine what blindfold games the child is allowed to access, and for how long. So, when I gave a talk at the American Foundation for the Blind conference, I had a lot of professors there saying, you know, these kids are playing too much video games. You're just encouraging them to play more. And I said, well, these are educational games, but we'll add to the system the ability for a teacher or a parent to say they can only play one of the blindfold entertainment games after they've achieved certain goals and limit the amount of time they play and limit which games they want the parent wants to let the child have access to. Yes.
Can I ask you something about the blind sheets? I think I missed something.
About braille sheets? Sure.
They're using the iPad, but the iPad doesn't raise the braille dot.
Ah, the magic. Yes, so how does it work? Yeah. Well, as we all know, every braille character is of a fixed size, a fixed height and a fixed width, and the braille definition says how much space is between each braille cell and what the size is between each line. Which means if you're in the very upper left corner of a piece of paper, you know that's the first braille letter on the page. And you know where the second letter is and the third letter and so on. So what we do is we translate the position you are on the iPad to the letters that correspond to that braille sheet. Each braille sheet has a number. So you type in the contents of the braille sheet you want for the child up at the website. And then that way we know what is in position one, position two, position three. So that when those same positions are touched on the iPad, we look for that correspondence of, well, what's the letter that would be in position one on the first line? What's the letter that would be in position, you know, one on the second line, and so on. So that's how we do the trick. And when we were prototyping this and seeing whether it was feasible, we basically tried to figure out how thick can you put a piece of paper on an iPad and the iPad will still know where you're touching. We found out it can be about as thick as a business card. Now, a business card is about paperweight of about 140. A piece of braille is paperweight somewhere between, you know, light braille is about 80 pound, and heavier braille is about 120 pound. So in either case, since we knew we could do about two business cards worth of thickness on an iPad, pretty much any piece of braille you print out can be, the iPad will know where you're touching, and then we simply translate that to the corresponding letter. So the process is the teacher types in on the web dashboard the paragraph that, or the words for the child. We lay it out on the Braille sheet. We either directly print that Braille sheet on a Braille embosser or show you on the screen what you need to emboss using a Perkins Brailler. And then from there, there's a one-to-one correspondence with all those positions and the corresponding Braille letters.
You put the piece of paper with the Braille on it over the iPad.
Exactly.
Okay.
We are about running out of time.
Mr. Schultz?
Yes.
We are just loving this. We are just about out of time because we have to do a business meeting. Is there a way you can give us some contact information so we can connect with you individually at the convention?
Yes. So I'm around all weekend long. You can email me at marty@objectiveed.com. Okay, or marty@blindfoldgames.org, whichever is easier for the type. If you're doing objectiveed.com, remember it's objective ending in ed.com, but marty@blindfoldgames.org might be easier to remember. Just so if you want to meet me or talk in more detail with me, I'd be glad to. Just shoot me an email and say where you are and I'll find you.
We hate to stop you because you can tell by the questions people are really, you know, excited. We've got to do a business meeting and elections, but this has been fabulous.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to everybody. And, you know, again, you know, you want, it's marty@blindfoldgames.org. You know, feel free to reach out to me. And I'll be talking several times over the next 2 days.
Thank you.